Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. You just heard from NPR News the latest on the Operation Fast and Furious congressional hearings and President Obama invoking for the first time in his administration executive privilege to prevent documents on Operation Fast and Furious from being given over to the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. A little bit earlier this morning, I talked with noted historian at American University, Alan Lichtman, and I asked him how commonly executive privilege is invoked by American presidents.
It is extremely common. Executive privilege is not in the United States Constitution, but claims of executive privilege are as old as the Republic. President George Washington, in effect, invoked executive privilege when he would not reply to a request by the U.S. House for documents associated with his recent Jay Treaty with Great Britain. President Thomas Jefferson invoked executive privilege. Many other presidents have done so. President George W. Bush did so on more than a dozen occasions. And in the famous case involving President Nixon, of course, and the Nixon tapes, the Supreme Court, in effect, acknowledged the existence of executive privilege, although it limited its scope.
Are these typically high-profile instances, or are there many times when presidents invoke executive privilege, we never hear about it?
Many times executives invoke executive privilege, and we don't hear about it. It could be fairly mundane events, or it could be very high-profile events, like the Watergate scandal or the Monica Lewinsky scandal involving President Bill Clinton, when he invoked executive privilege several times, and there was a court case on that President Clinton, in fact, lost.
You mentioned that there's nothing in the Constitution about this. So does that mean if you ended up with a big legal battle over the invoking of executive privilege, it would really be up to the courts to determine whether the chief executive could invoke it in a particular case?
Exactly. This is very much a judicial matter, and the courts have made at least a couple of pronouncements on it, but in any given case, anything can happen because executive privilege is based upon the doctrine of the separation of powers. That is, the president of the United States has a right and a privilege to gain confidential information and to withhold that information under certain circumstances from other branches of government. But as I said, both in the cases involving Presidents Nixon and Clinton, the courts have limited the scope of such privilege, particularly when it involves potential criminal matters.
In this morning's response from Republicans to President Obama invoking executive privilege with the Fast and the Furious documents, one of the points that's been raised is for the president to have done this, he must have been aware of what was going on with the Fast and the Furious, that there's some firsthand knowledge. Otherwise, it would not be appropriate to invoke this. Your response to that, is that required for this to be used?
It's not clear whether it's required for it to be used. It's not clear whether it involves other high officials of an administration, such as the Attorney General of the United States. That, again, would be an issue that would have to be hashed out in the court, since there is no clear constitutional or legal doctrine on executive privilege, except as separation of powers is interpreted by the judiciary.
And is there any need to provide a justification for it, or only insofar as if a court were to take it up?
I think only insofar as a court would take it up. Once a president has invoked executive privilege, it certainly is possible for such privilege to be overturned, as we saw in the cases of Nixon and Clinton, but that would be a matter for the judiciary to decide. And as we know, the wheels of justice grind slowly.
What are your thoughts on this being the first time that President Obama has invoked this? You mentioned, I think, a dozen or so times President George W. Bush used it, that it's been fairly commonly used in previous administrations. Your thoughts on maybe why this is the first time for President Obama?
Well, I think President Obama promised a more open administration, and reticence on executive privilege would certainly be consistent with that. It's it's not surprising that he would have invoked it in this case and right now, though, given the sensitivity of this matter and an approaching presidential election. I don't think he would have been very happy to continue to see this issue investigated by Republicans in the House.
Speaking of politics, historically, when presidents make this invocation in high-profile cases, does there seem to be any political cost to them or not?
I don't think there's necessarily an immediate political cost, since, you know, there are arguments to be made on both sides. On the one hand, privilege is limited, and I think openness in government is a good thing. On the other hand, there are justifications for this privilege, and each case has to be looked at individually. And most cases, as I said, never really come to public attention, but this Fast and Furious matter has been a high-profile issue and has become highly politicized, of course, in a presidential election year when the Republicans are looking for anything they can find against President Obama. And, of course, scandal is one of the keys to the White House. And a scandal is the last thing a president would want going into an election.
Professor Lichtman, thank you very much for taking time with us this morning. We really appreciate it.
My great pleasure.
Alan Lichtman is presidential historian at American University in Washington and author of 13 Keys to the White House. Again, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco and Firearms sent some 2,500 guns to the Sinaloa cartel September 2009 to January 11. Those guns were allowed to walk as agents arranged with gun dealers in the United States to allow those arms to make their way into Mexico. The intent was to try and get to the bosses, to get to the bigger fish instead of just the straw purchasers of the weapons. But some 2,500 guns went into Mexico, a couple of them directly linked to the killing of an American law enforcement agent along the border, as well as many Mexicans who were presumed to have been killed from those weapons that were allowed to walk. It's the scandal from the Operation Fast and Furious that is being scrutinized by this House committee under the direction of Congressman Daryl Issa. Joining us now is Democratic member of Congress Adam Schiff, who represents a district that encompasses Burbank, Glendale, and part of Pasadena. Congressman Schiff, good to have you with us.
Larry, it's great to be with you.
So what in your mind is the rationale for the Department of Justice not to turn over the documents that this congressional panel is seeking?
Well, Larry, we first have to recognize that the Justice Department has turned over volumes of materials, thousands of pages of documents. The documents that the committee is asking for now are really something that the executive branch has not turned over to Congress historically, because they involve the internal deliberations, the work product of the department itself. In other words, not documents that go to this Fast and Furious operation, not documents that relate to how botched operation came about or how it was effectuated, but rather how the Justice Department communicated internally about responding to questions from the press or questions from Congress. That kind of work product is never turned over, and there's a good basis really to resist that, because if you turn over information like that, then in the future you're not going to have honest deliberations within the department, because they're always going to wonder whether everything they say and everything they write down is going to have to be turned over one day. So that's the basis of this narrow claim of executive privilege. And what I think is important to keep in mind here is, even with respect to these materials, which historically have not been turned over, the Attorney General offered to turn a great portion of them over and to explain their content to try to avoid this coming to a contempt. But, you know, it's hard to escape the conclusion that the contempt and the fight is really what the committee is after, that the documents are secondary or really of very little importance. What the GOP leadership wants is they want to fight with the AG. They want to fight with the administration. It's a way of serving up some red meat to their conservative base.
But didn't the Justice Department step into this when it initially said that it hadn't allowed the guns to walk? That really opened up the door then for the question is whether Justice was being truthful about the operation. And so wouldn't these documents that get to the internal communications get to that issue of whether the Justice Department was being fully forthcoming about what went wrong here and the ways that they tried to manage the damage from it?
you know, that original letter is highly problematic, and it was produced inaccurately. It was the result of people at Justice being given inaccurate information by people who were involved in the operation. But the Justice Department has offered to provide those documents and has provided already a great many of those documents. So there's really, I don't think, a dispute about the department's willingness to provide the records of how that letter came about. And in fact, not only how that letter came about, but how the department came to understand the flawed nature of this operation. So Justice is willing to turn that over and has turned over part of it already, even though that involves some of these deliberative, internal work product communications. But the committee seems incapable of taking yes for an answer. And I think, frankly, it's hard to avoid the conclusion that they really don't want the Justice Department to be forthcoming. They don't want to reach an accommodation. They don't want to avoid this constitutional conflict, because the conflict is really what they're after.
Congressman, if this had happened in a Republican administration, would you be saying the same thing? Would you really be saying, no, we as a party are wrong to be subpoenaing this kind of internal communication? It compromises the ability of Justice to do its job. Can you step back from this partisan battle and say that you really, if the shoe were on the other foot, that you wouldn't be going hard after this internal documentation?
You know, I certainly would never take the position that it's always inappropriate for Congress to seek contempt of the executive. And I think the Congress needs to maintain that power and use it in appropriate circumstances. And I did think, for example, in the case of Harriet Myers and Josh Bolten, when they refused to even come to Congress to assert the privilege, when they refused to even appear and answer any questions whatsoever, or to even describe what communications they thought were privileged, that was such a blanket and unprecedentedly broad claim of privilege that, yes, I thought contempt then was warranted. But I made the point, even at that time, that this was not a situation where they had agreed to testify, they had been willing to testify, they had provided some documents, but had said that with respect to these questions or with respect to these documents, there's a valid claim of privilege. Contrast that with the present situation, where the Attorney General has testified 8 times before the Government Reform Committee alone, and not to mention the Judiciary Committee in House and Senate as well.
Okay.
So this is, a far cry from that circumstance, but this gets to a very important point.
Okay, I have to break real quickly, yeah.
Quick point, and that is, you really need to be careful and scrupulous about when you use this contempt power, or
okay,
it becomes a paper tiger.
We'll continue with Congressman Adam Schiff and other guests on the Fast and Furious, but first, Hedy Lynn Hurtis has the news. Dare Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We're talking about the fallout from Operation Fast and Furious. The federal plan was to allow thousands of guns to be purchased in the United States by straw buyers, those weapons taken back to Mexico, but tracked, and then cases made against higher-ranking officials within drug cartels in Mexico. But they lost track of those weapons, and some 2,500, it's estimated, made their way into the hands of those working for drug cartels. We have the death of Ryan Terry, a U.S. Border Patrol agent, with 2 guns from these straw purchases in the United States linked to his killing. Undoubtedly, many other lives lost as a result of these weapons making their way into Mexico. So as the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform under Darrell Issa's purview undertakes its investigation, they weren't able to reach agreement with Attorney General Eric Holder, who didn't want to release certain documents. Now executive privilege has been invoked by President Obama, and those documents will not be turned over to the committee. We're taking your calls and your response on this at 866-893-KPCC or on the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Richard in Santa Monica says executive privilege doesn't cross over from branch to branch. The president can only use it for the executive branch, not the judicial branch. This is clearly illegal, although this has to do with his administration and the branch of Congress. So I'm not sure about the judicial. If you see the Justice Department as part of the judiciary, I would think of that as part of the executive branch more than the judiciary. But bringing us into the conversation now, Republican Tim Donnelly, California State Assembly member from the Inland Empire in Eastern L.A. County. Assemblyman, thank you for joining us again.
Oh, it's great to be on, Larry.
Appreciate it. So your thoughts on this, and do you think the president is wrong and not properly invoking executive privilege here?
You know, it's very interesting. This is continuing a pattern of contempt that the president has for the people, for the separation of powers. I mean, the other day he decided he's going to do a unilateral executive order or whatever he's going to concoct up to give amnesty to everyone under the age of 30, going around Congress, ignoring the will of the people. And here, clearly, there is a strong interest by the American people in finding out the involvement of the judicial, the Department of Justice in this horrific program that has led to the deaths of law enforcement agents, including Agent Brian Terry back in December of 2010. And, you know, I remember how I felt when I first heard that news, and I heard the rumors, immediately heard rumors that it was one of the guns that had been walked back into Mexico. And to find out that we armed the cartels that killed one of our sworn agents, to me, there is nothing more important than getting to the truth. And here we have a president who has decided to blockade the people, blockade the Congress, blockade the instrument of investigation. It's as if he thinks he's above the law.
Well, but we've had presidents who've said very same kind of rationale. We just heard it from Congressman Schiff, that if you release all these kinds of internal communications, it has such a chilling effect on governmental departments being able to do their job. We heard this under George W. Bush's administration. This isn't a new claim from an administration. So why do you think it doesn't apply in this case, but would in others?
That's just a load of crap. That I heard all that nice, soft, dulcet tone garbage coming out of the mouth of Adam Schiff. You got to be kidding me. We had an agent who was murdered. He stood on that line to protect Americans. He was murdered by a gun that was allowed to go back. Every single agent in the Department of Justice, in the Department of Homeland Security who knew about that or who was involved in that operation, Fast and Furious, should answer to it. I don't care if it goes all the way up to the Attorney General. I don't care if it goes to President Obama. No one is above the law. And this business of invoking executive privilege, I thought the president said the White House wasn't involved. Now all of a sudden is he saying the White House wasn't involved? Or I'm sorry, that the White House is now involved? Where does he get the authority to invoke executive privilege on behalf of the Department of Justice? I think that the Department of Justice has to answer these questions. They are the ones who put out the letter they're now claiming was inaccurate. It's funny, when people lie in high office, they call it inaccuracies or maybe they misstated. The guy lied because he was trying to cover up something that he figured he could get away with.
So you're saying that then there's no competing issue here in terms of the operations of the Justice Department. But obviously this is a tragedy that the Border Patrol agent is killed and that other people undoubtedly were killed as a result of this operation. But it's not the only thing going on here, right?
You know what? This is a congressional investigation. They are demanding documents. Those documents ought to be produced forthwith. This country has gone through enough where government, we saw it with Clinton, we saw it way back with Watergate, where people in high positions of power hide behind executive privilege because they don't want the truth to come out. That's the bottom line. If there are things that shouldn't be disclosed to the public, they can hold that hearing in closed session. They have control over that. But if the answers are not produced to the people who are demanding them through the power of that office, which is under the purview, as you said, of Congressman Daryl Issa, who I think has done an extraordinary job of trying to ferret out the truth. This is not about politics. This didn't have to go on.
Wait. How can you say it's not about politics? I understand you're saying there's a substantive issue and an important issue at play. How can you say politics doesn't enter into this?
I will say politics doesn't enter into this because if the president and if Eric Holder had been forthcoming a long time ago, this wouldn't be a political issue going into the general election.
All right. I want to thank you very much, Assemblyman Tim Donnelly, for being with us. Inland Empire, Eastern Los Angeles County. Congressman Adam Schiff, a quick response, sir.
Well, I, with all due respect to my colleague, I don't think he knows the facts of the Fast and Furious and wide receiver investigations. The reality is that the practice of gun walking, this horrible botched operation, began under the name of wide receiver in the Bush administration. And the committee not only has shown no interest in how this gun walking came about, when witnesses have tried to testify about the origins of it, that it began in the prior administration, they've been precluded from doing so. So it is abundantly clear this is unfortunately nothing but a political attack job on the Attorney General and on the President. I would have loved to hear my colleague voice such righteous indignation during the Bush administration when they made multiple claims of executive privilege with, frankly, far less basis than the current president has done. Yes, the Justice Department is part of the executive branch. That's why a claim of executive privilege is appropriate when you're talking about a narrow class of documents. And
Okay. Again,
we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that we're talking about a time when the Justice Department has already produced over 7,000 documents, and the Attorney General has testified over 8 times on this very issue.
Congressman, thank you for being with us. Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff, Glendale, Burbank, a sliver of Pasadena, and surrounding communities in his district. He sees it as all politics. Tim Donnelly, the Republican Assemblyman, sees it as all substantive and no politics to it whatsoever. Probably most of it sees us as a mix of those two. We're at 866-893-KPECC. Alonzo in Temple City, your thoughts on the Fast and Furious and the congressional inquiry?
This administration, when it came in, they promised they were going to be the most transparent administration, more transparent than the last administration. But this goes on from administration to administration. Yes, today President Obama, exerted executive privilege. I think President Bush did it like a half dozen times. President Clinton exerted executive privilege
right. Something
like 14 times. But
so you thought this was going to be a change, that the Obama administration would not ever use executive privilege.
Exactly. They promised us transparency. I'm not trying to go after whether it's a Republican administration, a Democratic administration. It just goes on. The people want to know answers to questions. And as far as the other gentleman stating that, yes, it's a sad fact that a agent was killed by one of these guns. But once again, 5,900 plus troops were killed in a trumped-up war in Iraq. And we want to know answers for that.
Okay. I appreciate your call, Alfonso. Let's go to our political experts. Give us a sense of what, if any, political legs Operation Fast and Furious has with the public. Joining us, Republican strategist Jonathan Wilcox, who at one time had as one of his clients Congressman Daryl Issa, who is chairing this House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Larry.
So politically, is this going to pay dividends for Republicans?
Well, it already has. And the political dividends show at the end, right now, today, they've hit the jackpot. The president doesn't claim executive privilege because these documents make him look good. He doesn't claim privilege because they verify what the Justice Department has said, what Eric Holder has said. They claim privilege because they know that what's in those documents is devastating, contradictory, and major political damage for the president.
So you don't buy the argument that it's about showing internal workings of the Department of Justice that would compromise their law enforcement abilities?
Well, look, I respect that that has been a back and forth, and Republican presidents have cited that against Democrat Congresses and vice versa. So look, this is an argument about executive privilege and congressional oversight that the founders intended. And so I have no problem with that. And there's no question that there is a segment of conservatives, Republican activists, and right-of-center scholars who believe in a powerful executive and believe that the president and the presidency has eroded power over the years of the Congress. I totally acknowledge that. I mean, Dick Cheney is one of the real architects of the powerful executive presidency, and we saw that in the Bush administration. But this is different than that.
Okay.
This is a contradictory political scandal, and what I'm just saying is the more we find out, every leak, every email, every document that's pried out of the Justice Department or leaked from it has made this look worse, not better.
Jonathan Wilcox, Republican strategist. Derry Schrago, attorney, longtime Democratic political strategist. Derry, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
So are Democrats going to have to play defense on this? Does it rise to that level where it's cause for concern?
No, I mean, I just find this fascinating. You know, I've been doing this a lot of years, and at this point, I just listen to this, and I'm just amazed. This is a drama that is played out over and over and over again in every administration, and the same arguments get made, sometimes by the Democrats, sometimes by the Republicans, because, you know, they switch sides. There's nothing new here, and what's so important is this doesn't matter to voters. I mean, what this really is all about is the Republicans proving yet again that they are lost at sea. They're arguing over angels on the heads of pins. This is a significant issue. There's no question that this is a significant issue. But as the congressman pointed out, it started with the Bush administration. We need to get to the bottom of this, and picking on Holder isn't going to get to the bottom of it. But the real point is that voters want jobs and they want good schools. And this is further proof to most voters that the people in Washington, D.C. are so obsessed with contemplating their own navels that they all ought to be thrown out of there.
But if the public isn't going to be paying attention, wouldn't it have to be because the public feels like, well, I understand what happened with Operation Fast and Furious. They had this idea, which was a terrible idea. It backfired in a huge and tragic way. But it's pretty clear what happened, what went wrong, and the ways that they tried to control the negative PR from that. And do you think the public has clarity of that, or do you think there are a lot of unanswered questions, as Republicans say?
There's no question that there are unanswered questions. As the congressman pointed out, if you're really going to try to get to the bottom of this objectively without playing politics, you have to start at the beginning with the Bush administration and what Congressman Issa is doing, and he's perfectly within his rights as a politician, is trying to throw mud at Democrats and not have that mud splash over onto his own party. That's what he's trying to do. That's perfectly fair in politics, but voters view all this as politicians of both parties picking fights with each other that don't shed a lot of light and that really keep the debate off of important topics. This is important. There's no question that the issue is important. But what is going on right now is not likely to shed any light on what really happened and how to prevent this from happening again.
Jonathan Wilcox.
Well, that's why Derry's one of the best, because in a controversy about a dead border agent, hundreds of murdered Mexicans, and the fact that the Justice Department has been contradicted again and again and again, Derry Srego tells us that what voters want are jobs. What voters want is the truth. And the fact is, this controversy is a lot more known, a lot more widely understood, and a lot more appreciated by more voters than just the basic back-and-forth executive privilege battles that we've seen with the Congress and presidents, as Derry said, of both parties. This is what a scandal looks like, and there's more known about it. And the fact is, this did not, and Derry, hold on a second. This did not start with the Bush administration. This is an entirely different operation. And if it did, why didn't we hear more about it? The fact that this
I thought gun walking did start with the Bush administration.
Not gun walking. What they call wide receiver in Fast and Furious are totally different operations. And the fact is, if it was so innocent and clear, it shouldn't. This is not just about protecting the institution of the presidency. Barack Obama's campaigned, and Eric Holder has said before, what we need is more transparency. Everything we have found out about this operation and about the Justice Department's conduct has contradicted what they've said. In fact, even to where documents and letters have been submitted to Congress have been pulled back and taken back because they weren't accurate.
But Jonathan, from a political standpoint, people have to feel it to have it enter into what their vote is going to be, right? Do you think this really rises to the level that people feel it at the emotional level?
Yeah, but my view is that things are different now. More people have more information about more things than ever before. And old bulls like Derry and medium old bulls like me have to change with the times. The fact is, this makes the Obama administration look controversial. This makes the president look like just another politician. He's doing what Richard Nixon did, doing what Bill Clinton did. And they're doing it to protect themselves from political embarrassment.
Derry Srego.
Oh, it's very simple. And this old bull has a proposal for the somewhat old bull. And that is, if we want to get – because, look, this is important, and we need to get to the bottom of it. And there's a very simple answer. And so, Jonathan, you and I should propose jointly a bipartisan commission to investigate this and get to the bottom of it, where the Democrats and the Republicans are equal and we take politics out of it. So are you for that?
Honestly, let me tell you something. On June 20th, after a year of this, it is too late for that. The time for bipartisanship and getting to the bottom of this in the interest of the people is long since past. And the conduct of the Justice Department and the conduct of Eric Holder is just too suspicious.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. I know you were on to actually talk about another issue of candidates picking and choosing which debates they'll do based on the politics of the cable network involved. We'll have to do that at another time because there's a lot to talk about with this morning. Latest developments. Thank you for being with us. Jonathan Wilcox, Derry Schrago. It's Air Talk on KPCC. Hedy Lynn Hurdy's has the news.